Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Resident herbalist Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Thanks for joining us here on Herb Talk on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about this new beneficial effect report coming from the scientific community. What it may tell us about the benefit of herbs. Do tell. Well, I will. First part of the show. Also, we're going to talk about some modern food and how you can combat disease with modern food. So, and a little bit of that's going to be in the Quack Report too. So, you know, it's people are getting powered with the tools that are just readily available, and God bless God for that, right? And we do have a Quack Report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform lifting this country up in prayer, and all of you. And the devotional today is from John 4 and Isaiah 55. And God is instructing us to come to him. He says, come to me with your plans and worship me in spirit and in truth, and allow my glory to permeate your entire being. Trust me enough to guide you through this day, accomplishing my purpose in my timing. Subordinate your myriad of plans to my master plan, and I am sovereign over every aspect of your life. Yeah, you know, that's what faith is about. It's trust. And so mind the time it goes short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker, this is scientists from the Imperial College of London. They say, you know, you can reduce your risk of disease with diet. Yep, they said 95 studies that included over 2 million people they were assessing, looking over. So in these studies, 112,000 cases of cancer, 81 cases of cardiovascular disease, 47,000 cases of stroke, 43,000 cases of heart disease, and 94,000 permanent premature deaths. And they said what they concluded from all this research is nutrition is key, has a big impact on reducing the risk of chronic disease and premature death. And, of course, their overall conclusive findings of all those studies it was published in the International Journal of Epidemiology. So, disease has an inverse relationship with nutrition. All right, last but not least in the quack report, again, this is nutrition. Columbia University Medical School recent study said that, you know, there's a correlation, shocking, that diet has the likelihood of protecting you from Alzheimer's. That's right. They said several studies adhering to a close relationship with dietary patterns, emphasizing the use of eating more fish, poultry, olive oil, fruits and vegetables, whole grains, moderate amounts of alcohol, you know, kind of, you know, versus the red meat diet and all the high fat dairy products and all those saturated fats. They said, you know, switching to the Mediterranean diet is pretty much what they're describing. They say will protect you against Alzheimer's disease and neurological cognitive problems, according to the epidemiologists there at the Columbia University Medical Center. So you got power. It's called food, spices, and herbs. Time you used them. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Well, it's all about choices, isn't it? Yeah, we're going to get smarter about those choices for sure. All right, we're going to talk about this beneficial effect report that I came across. You know, because the world is, it recognizes, let's say, the German E-Commission as a health authority, and that's kind of similar to the United States' FDA. So the German E-Commission was created in 1978 by the German Federal Health Agency, and they were specifically told to study the safety and efficiency of herbal medicines. Did you know that, Frank? Some people don't know that. Yep, they were there to study herbal medicines. And I didn't personally know. I knew they were there to study medicines, but I didn't know specifically herbal medicines. So this was kind of an eye-opener for me. So in 1994, the German E-Commission published 400 monographs, or recipes, if you will, on herbal medicines. So this research they produce includes, you know, herbal doses, plant action, side effects, and so on. Now, U.S. practitioners are permitted access to this information for their use, and the monographs from Germany are considered proof that the herbs are safe and efficient, although the standards over there are not as rigorous as in the United States. Now, Germany embraces the use of medicinal herbs, but only under strict guidelines and research that proves the desired effect from the plant. So according to the World Health Authorities, compared to the United States, Germany far exceeds the use of herbal medicine and supplements than here in the United States. And how much more, you may wonder? Well, we're told 70% of the substances prescribed in Germany are herbal. People prefer the herbs. But notice that in Germany, you need a physician's prescription or permission to use the herbs. So herbal medicine prescriptions are paid for by the socialized healthcare system in Germany. Now, currently, Germany utilizes about 1,400 different herbal medicines that incorporate about 700 species of plants. So why is that important? Well, when a country socializes their healthcare system, they turn the availability and the legal right to the use of medicinal herbs over to the government. So in which case, you know, we have witnessed that such action can kind of promote significant loss in availability to some herbs, as in the case of those in England, Australia, and New Zealand, and some of the other European Union countries. So when food, herbs, and spices become more regulated, they become more difficult and expensive to get. However, the scientific medicine in the United States has often said, hey, herbs have no medicinal value whatsoever. Well, let's take a look at what other health authorities and scientists are saying about the medicinal value of your herbs. Here's a quote from the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. In 2008, they said about one-third of all FDA-approved drugs used in conventional medicine have their origin from plants. That would be your herbs. World Health Organization says this: about 70% of the world population relies on plants for their primary health care, utilizing 70,000 species used as medicines. All right, and this is also from the Journal of Medicinal and Aromatic Plants, November 2012. They say at least 50 major prescription drugs originated from approximately 17% of the medicinal plants. The chemical diversity of plants represents a potential limitless resource for the use in pharmaceutical drugs, end of quote. And also Daniel Mormon, he is an ethnobiologist, or botanist, I should say. He says, in the United States, the herb medicine represents a rich and unexplored source of nutrients for pharmaceuticals. Native Americans used about 9% of the medicinal plants available, and a majority of the plants remain unknown and unexplored, end of quote. Well, let's look at these early medications for just a little bit. Some of the early medications medical science took nutrition from the herbs and then made synthetic copycats to make drugs in order to patent them would be they used snake root from India to make blood pressure drugs. They took foxglove plant to make digitalis, willow bark to make aspirin. Mahung is your epinephrine or the ephedrine. It's an allergy asthma drug. It's in Sudafed, which, you know, it's illegal for you to have that, by the way. You cannot have them. You cannot go get that herb. It's, you know, you will have the men in black at your door if you go get some mahung. All right, European periwinkle that contains toxal is used by the industry as an anti-cancer compound. And also wormwood they use to help fight malaria. So they use that for malaria medicines. Now, I've mentioned before that, you know, scientific medicine has more information that really don't officially share with patients, and such as their knowledge of what herbs, you know, kill certain cells that promote cancer is also on the list. They don't share that. So here in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition, science admits that herbs have the power to kill cancer cells. And alas, herbs in their original state are not patentable, and thus they don't serve the healthcare community. They don't make any money, so they have to be able to patent. Therefore, patients are really not told, hey, go out and get this herb. Instead, they want to sell you an expensive toxic drug and treatment that typically do more harm than good. So here in this journal article, it talks about an alternative treatment for a 15-year-old boy that had Hodgkin's lymphoma disease. Doctors recommended the traditional treatment of radiation and chemo. It would offer the child about an 80% survival rate, they said. But the family rejected the treatment plan and instead used astragalus and dandelion root. So the herb boosts the immune system and destroyed the cancer. And it's important to note, though, herbs with toxic drug treatments are really not recommended. patients should select one mode of treatment and not mix the two. So in other words, you're not going to be taking your dandelion astragalus root while you're hooked up to the chemo. That's not going to help you. All right. Also in the article, echinacea root blew their mind. That's right. The journal article also mentions what they quoted as the anti-infective effect of echinacea root. So the scientists could not agree on which of the six active elements within the root was the benefactor at destroying infections. But one thing the scientists did agree on is that echinacea root has this power to exert influence over the immune system and, in particular, mobilize more killer T cells to destroy infections. Yeah, one of my favorite immune-boosting herbs, for sure. So there's a lot of botanical wisdom out there. And it's all for your taking if you want to, you know, learn more. But some scientists recognize the accumulation of botanical knowledge has, you know, passed down through traditional systems of medicine, you know, from China and India, the Middle East, Europe, Africa, North America. It's important to notice most major continents had herbal medicines. They were passed down. The knowledge was passed down. Now, the hidden power in plants has been learned by trial and error, kind of similar to what science does testing synthetic drugs today on lab animals and humans. Now, trying to unlock the biological action of herbs is kind of complicated. Herbs, you know, when they try to dissect and utilize and synthesize and isolate that chemical they can make a drug out of, it can be a little complicated because herbs have a lot of these active complex compounds. And they work synergistically together. So that's why science sometimes has a hard time pinpointing which is working. Now, it can take science several years to a lifetime to unlock a lot of these mysteries in God's herbs. So dissecting, isolating herb compounds to make drugs increases the risk of side effects because it's no longer a whole plant. It's no longer a whole food source. So each component has a either direct or indirect impact on the body, and missing elements cause imbalance and undesirable reactions. So scientific medicine should respect what is called the evolutionary approach to herbal medicine, and several generations and use of these plants worldwide remain the first choice for treatment for a majority of people. That's right. Majority of people still trusting in those herbs. Well, here is a quote from Norman Farnsworth. He is a U.S. pharmacologist who says, 89 plant-derived drugs currently prescribed in the industrialized world were discovered by studying traditional herbal medicine. And the Journal of Medicinal and Aromatic Plants states, people cannot live without plants for medicine, oxygen, foraging, and food. They also mention medicinal research indicates, or medical research indicates, that epidemic diseases from a geographical location usually offer plants that cure or contain the spread of that disease. You probably heard that before. You know, if you find poison ivy, there's the antidote within, you know, a few feet. Same kind of thing. Also, they go on to say medicinal oils from plants, you know, your essential oils, they will have varying potency, they say, depending on the altitude the plant is grown in. So higher altitudes, they say, offer higher concentrations in the essential oils. Why probably the Himalayan monks have some really good stuff, right? Alrighty, let's talk about the emphasis on health, because the differences in the healing philosophies of the ancient herbal world and modern scientific medicine, the differences is that the ancient world's focus was on wellness, not disease. Ancient healers that used plants as medicine didn't address symptoms, but they addressed the entire physiology of the patient. So about 2,000 years ago, man took poppy seeds, and they found out they could make a pain drug called morphine with it. Now, of course, you know, average person no longer has free access to plants that help them with pain. And typically, That is what, you know, governing bodies tend to do. They restrict the availability and use of the plants known to have great benefit and leave the population with plants that have less benefit. And this is what you have been seeing within the European Union, where people of the 13 countries have lost the direct use of over 20,000 plants. So a government would not bother with plants that have no healthful benefits, you know, they would ignore that. So modern socialized healthcare really is becoming more about control than health. And one thing the government can't seem to erase is that herbal medicine is the core part of wellness. And I can tell you why they can't erase it, because God spoke it and therefore it is. Well, let's look at the three top sellers, because the health authorities are looking at the herbs available to the masses, and their top three sellers are ginkgo biloba, because it's often used to improve cognitive function, garlic, it's used as a blood thinner and also for anti-infectious agents, and also ginseng. It's a basic herb used within Chinese medicine, but it gives the body stamina. All right, so the common reasons people in industrialized parts of the world are gravitating to the herbal medicine for chronic, non-life-threatening health problems are, they say this, because it's less expensive, it's gentler on the body, less toxic, it fits my philosophy or ideology, I want to avoid side effects and adverse events, it's more personalized type of healthcare, and it allows greater understanding to well-being. People get in touch with how their body reacts, and then they get a feel for, you know, what could be wrong. I mean, when you start paying attention, you can tell when you have a virus and when you don't, and when it's more bacterial. You'll know the difference. Alrighty, so according to the World Health Organization, the herbs people apply for the treatment of some of the most acute and chronic health conditions, this is what they apply herbs for. They'll use herbs for cardiovascular disease, prostate problems, depression, inflammation and pain, immune system support, and diabetes. So those are the big hitters that people gravitate to, and I can kind of confirm that's pretty much what it is. I mean, there's some herbs out there for other things, but concentrated sales are in those areas. All right, so now the other thing that the research pointed out was the process matters, because there was something that the National Center for Biotechnology touched on in relation to their bi-molecule aspects of herb medicine. Here's a quote from them in their 2011 research. They say, plants made into extracts or tinctures will vary depending on the ingredient quality, the catalyst used, the temperature used, and the extraction aging time. There is no standardization, and the product is likely to vary significantly. Well, this is why the European Union is pushing and the World Health Organization also, they're pushing for the standardization, which is really the equivalent of manufacturing pharmaceutical drugs. So they're pushing for that within your herb medicine area. But the problem is herbs are not pharmaceutical drugs, and plants will naturally vary from crop to crop depending on the growing conditions. So, you know, in nature, they're not standardized. However, the World Health Organization recommends that policy enforce what is called biochemical profiling to ensure a consistent material component. So in other words, they want to make synthetic versions of the herbs so they can standardize them. You know, their entire botanical market can be, you know, the same. The problem is some herbs have many chemical components like we touched on, and that makes it difficult to synthesize them all. Even if they did get them all, who would decide how much of each of the individual components would be used as a standard? And you know what? This could easily become a recreation of herbs themselves when they start doing that. Also, too much overprocessing of these plants, these herbal plants, they're very sensitive to heat and light, You know, you overprocess, you'll ruin their medicinal power. And many of the current U.S. manufacturers that make a lot of herbal extracts or tinctures, they don't do an age of their formulas. They don't cold press them. Instead, what they use is forced extraction, which creates heat and friction in the process. And this will always make a very weak formula. Now, the U.S. Pharmacopoeia also promotes monographs or recipes of herbs, but they're very weak herbal formulas. So the World Health Organization is a major driving force behind the pharmaceutical regulation of your herbs as medicines, and one area in particular they are stressing is safety monitoring. Well, last time I checked, 100,000 Americans did not die annually using herbs, but did from pharmaceutical drugs, which are supposedly checked and monitored for safety. So herbs can't get any safer with more regulation, but they will become more expensive, harder to get, and I predict processed to death. Here is a quote from the WHO 2011. They say national policies are the basis for defining the role of traditional medicines in natural health care programs, ensuring the necessary regulations and legal mechanisms are established for promoting and maintaining good practice, safety, and access to health care resources. Oh, yeah. Well, herbs do have benefits. You know, we didn't need, you know, the agencies, the health agencies to tell us that. The average person didn't need the government to release a report confirming herbs have health benefits. Of course they do. That's why, you know, authorities want to control them. Now, if herbs didn't work, people would not keep using them, and science would not be making drugs from them. And you will have to decide how much pushback you're willing to risk protecting your access to God's given right to medicinal herbs. So these are your healing agents at your service. That's what herbs are. And I personally would not allow anyone to destroy that access. For me personally, not happening. Well, and nutrition is paramount. Don't forget that. The nutrition in herbs is paramount in times of physical distress. And we just learned from the Quack Report, foods can help protect you from Alzheimer's and can reverse certain diseases and protect you from diseases. Herbs are just concentrated medicinal components, nutritional components. That's why they're bitter. You just need a little bit. So the complex, compact nutrition in your herbs are going to be lifesavers. So be prepared. You should learn all you can on your herbs and how to use them. If you want, pick up a copy of the Power Herbs ebook at thepowerherbs.com. It's just $14.99. And you can get a free product catalog from Apothecary Herbs while you're there. So these are certified organic whole food herbal formula supplements that pretty much are the game changer. You can give a call at Apothecary Herbs to order or request your free catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. They do specialize in immune boosting and organ cleansing, but they have some other things there. The international number is 704-885-0277. 704-885-0277. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. God's given you tools. He's giving you information. He's expecting you to use them. That's right. The herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. And he says it from Genesis to Revelation. That should tell you. It's right there. I know we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Being proactive about improving your health can seem like a big job. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'd like to share my health secrets to better health. The first step is to remove metabolic blockages caused by toxins. Next is to infuse organic whole food nutrients to help repair and replenish organ function. You'll be amazed at how simple and effective this is when using my professional strength, herbal organ cleanses, and body foundation food mix. To order or for a free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663, online, thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order my organ cleanses and body food mix and be empowered, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. Resident herbalist Wendy Wilson, and we're going to talk about the foods now. Our selection of foods is going to be almost, if not more important than our selection of herbal medicines, because ancient civilizations were aware that certain foods offered more risk than others with regard to health. So it became an issue of even biblical proportion in the book of Leviticus. So in modern times, we have added to our food health risk pretty much cataclysmically all these chemicals and genetic engineering. And most people have some inkling of food chemicals, but they really don't really understand a lot of the dangers. So recently I came across some reports on the genetic engineered foods and herbicides. More people are getting more familiar with this as the years go by. But this report analyzed data from dozens of scientific sources, and they found a correlation link to 22 diseases. So we're going to take a look. So this was a study in 2014 in the Journal of Organic Systems, and it reported that genetically modified foods should never have been approved for release to the market because of the devastating effects on human health. So the study's title was Genetically Engineered Crops, Glyphosate, and the Deterioration of Health in the United States of America. So the study involved people from the International Federation of Organic Agricultural Movements and also Phillips School of Geology and geophysicists at the University of Oklahoma. Now, according to the scientists, there is a huge incidence or prevalence of chronic illnesses being reported in the United States since the use of glyphosate herbicide, Roundup, if you will, in 1974, and the use of these chemicals in also the genetically engineered crops. So let's look at the point of attack, because the research is pointing to a lot of these herbicides on crops and now inside genetically engineered crops as being an endocrine system disruptor. Now, your endocrine system manufactures hormones, and hormones are, man, they're used all over the body for certain things, including neurotransmitters in your brain and also to help you sleep well and breathe well while you sleep. So the herbicides are also a destroyer for gut flora, according to the research, and it causes the destruction of healthy DNA and helps it to mutate. So the scientists drew from a truckload of data in the government databases detailing the creation and use of glyphosate or your Roundup. So they already know, the government has known for years and years and years, this is a population reducer, okay? So this data actually was linked up to a map on the epidemiological damage being done and the diseases being created just because of Roundup. This is huge. So using the government data, the research team created a time series of correlations from the glyphosate Roundup in the 22 diseases. And they were using Pearson correlation coefficients to do this data. And what the results showed was these herbicides and your genetically modified foods that have herbicides in them have created a pandemic level of disease. And they listed the diseases: hypertension, stroke, diabetes, obesity, metabolism disorders, Alzheimer's, senility and other dementias, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, autism, inflammatory bowel disease and infections, kidney disease, also known as renal failure, thyroid cancer, liver disease, hepatitis, bladder diseases, pancreas diseases, myeloid leukemia was on the list. So the research team found all these coefficients were greater when the genetically engineered corn and soy hit the market. Okay, so it was there was an uptick. Okay, so the facts are telling us that serious illness is increasing to the effect even the younger and younger people, making the U.S. the leader in neurological diseases and premature death. So the research team also noticed that during the increases in disease, it correlated with the increase in the amount of Roundup herbicides being used on crops and inside crops, genetically modified crops. They further stated that genetically engineered crops use a lot and not less herbicide. So this happens when the genes in the plants are altered to tolerate more herbicide. So, you know, that was the reason they put it in the plant, so you wouldn't have to add it to the plant. But now they find they have to add it to the plant anyway. And this makes the plants absorb more of the herbicides, and they don't mount a defense or die from it. The plant doesn't. And so people and animals are eating more herbicides than ever before. Here is a quote from the Annual Review of Public Health in 2012. They said, within the last 20 years, there has been an alarming increase in serious illness in the U.S., along with a marked decrease in life expectancy. Also, the Autoimmune Research Foundation in 2013 said, an astounding 25% of the U.S. population is suffering from multiple chronic diseases. Multiple, not just one disease, but several. So what could be causing that? Well, let's look at this Roundup Ready stuff. Glycophosphate is the most widely used herbicide and is the active ingredient in Roundup. And according to environmental science in Europe, and several chemists report that their findings in June of 2014 that also wound up in the Journal of Food Chemistry, they said a lot of the GMO industry is lying to the FDA about GM foods being no different than foods that are hybrids. So the FDA accepted the answer without even requiring genetic engineering food testing and safety. And the researchers assured us that the facts about GM foods being safe were distorted, and we're told that the GMO industry is taking multiple genes, transferring them across biological organisms, and redefining them. So plants and animals are being redesigned in ways that don't occur in nature. So the GMO industry is destroying the classified order of living things that belong in separate kingdoms, separate families, separate classes and genus and species. So they are taking plants, taking fungi, taking viruses, taking bacteria that should be separate, and they're interbreeding them into these great scientific experiment. And it is deliberate, it's a deliberate act to take different families of living things that normally do not interbreed and force them to interbreed. And that is what genetic engineering does. It transfers genes between kingdoms and is essentially science dismantling God's creation and recreating it. Another point that the researchers are making was that in hybrid forms of food, you do not see constructed transgenes, which are bacteria, viruses, fish genes, and other plant genes all combined with them. So therefore, genetically engineered food is not the same as hybrid foods or what God created. Here is a quote from the FDA. They say it is up to the biotech companies that manufacture genetically engineered seeds to research and determine the safety of their products. Well, we just got through talking about the safety of herbal formulas that they want to take over. Why can't the herbal companies determine that safety, since the genetically engineered companies, biotech, can do that? And, of course, the pharmaceuticals seem to be doing that. Also, here is a quote from Monsanto, who makes Roundup, the glycophosphate. They say, since its discovery in the early 1970s, the unique herbicide active ingredient glyphosate has become the world's most widely used herbicide. It is effective, economical, and environmentally safe. Right. Well, you make that stuff. We don't believe you. Let's talk to a chemist. According to chemist T. Bone, or Bowen, he contributed some research on the genetically modified foods in the article we were reporting to you on the Food Chemistry Journal. He said he was able, without a doubt, to distinguish chemically the differences between organic and conventional and genetically engineered soybeans. He said there is a difference in vitamins, fats, and proteins. He says the genetic engineered soybeans have a significant glycophosphate herbicide trait not found in the organic or conventionally grown soybean. He said, I used 35 nutritional elements to compare the characteristics, and he reported it was easy to distinguish between the compositions. It was right in your face, he said. So there is such a significant difference, he said, that the genetically engineered source is not the same as what is grown naturally. So they're lying. They're lying to you when it's the same. He also said the glycophosphate is used on many crops and is has an accumulative effect in water, soil, and in the air. He said people are eating a minimum of 4.4 parts per million of herbicide on any crop treated with it. So they're treating these crops with glycophosphate. Wheat, that would be your spring wheat, germ wheat, winter wheat, barley, rice, any seeds like canola, dried beans, peas, sugar cane, sweet potatoes, soybeans, almonds, beets, corn, sugar cane, I mentioned sugar cane, vegetables and legumes, grass, hay for cattle. Why are they doing that? But it's there. And also they say they're treating shellfish. It's in the water, so shellfish have the Roundup on. Well, let's look at these accumulative herbicides a minute, because according to a German report in 2004 called Pesticide Management Science, they say animals and humans that have become seriously ill have higher amounts of herbicides in their urine. They also found high amounts of herbicides in the sick organs of cows. It was in their kidneys, their liver, their lung tissue, their spleen, their muscles, and intestines. Well, if they're spraying the hay, what do you think? Now, the genetically engineered crops were supposed to reduce the need for herbicides, but the opposite has resulted. And in 2013, the U.S. Geological Survey showed that 527 million additional pounds of herbicides were being used. So the German researchers estimated that the more herbicides are used, that it's going to increase the need exponentially to use more herbicides by 50%. So that's it's not an excuse to use less herbicides, it's an excuse to use more. So how do herbicides, you know, shorten our life? Well, science actually knows herbicides on and inside our foods is killing us slowly with an accumulative poisoning. One review paper in 2013 called Interdisciplinary Toxicology stated that glycophosphate disrupts our metabolic processes by blocking enzyme pathways. All the tissue in our body uses enzymes, and 75% of our metabolic system relies on this pathway to deliver oxygen and organic nutrition. So herbicides slowly starve our tissues and our organs. It is a slow death, and no fingers are pointed on to any one cause. Perfect murder, basically, isn't it? So the herbicides are also magnifying any other toxins that are already in your body, like prescription medications or other chemicals that are used on crops, food preservative chemicals, and other environmental toxins. So this creates a lot of inflammation. It damages the organs, the nerves, blood vessels. It just really is very destructive on a cellular level. So herbicides also magnify the destruction that the Western diet is creating. So you get this avalanche of disease, and it's really, according to them, in a pandemic-like proportion, and I agree. And Frank is weighing in. He says, why would this be a surprise? The company that sells the GMO seeds also sells the herbicide. Of course GMO use will require more and more herbicides, creating more and more billions in problems. Well, yeah, that's the business model. It's sort of like, you know, the wrinkle cream has parabens put in it to cause more wrinkles, so you buy more wrinkle cream. Perfect business model. So, yeah, there you have it. Yep, it's all about greed. That's what it's about. And that's their idol. They put money before everything. Everything, God's creation, and everything in the planet. Also, there's resistance because they notice on these herbicides on the patent for glycophosphate. Frank, I don't know if you knew this, but it states that it kills a beneficial bacteria in the human gut, which make us more vulnerable to digestive diseases. So they already know it's killing our good, healthy flora in our digestive tract so that when we use and eat herbicides, it creates a lot of also resistant to certain types of bacteria, which we actually use and call as friendly. So it's going to be friendly to salmonella, botulism, gram-positive strep. It's going to be friendly to meningitis. And it's going to also be very friendly to pathogens that cause a lot of endocarditis or heart inflammation. And it's also very friendly to gram-positive digestive spores and any pathogens that harbor food poisoning. So your glycophosphate enhances all that nastiness. All right, and here's the other thing that I found. It increases your risk of a ton of diseases, including cancer. This is a report that was published in 2012 in the Journal of Environmental and Analytical Toxicology, and it stated glycophosphate, your herbicide, when it's in humans or in vertebrates, your pets, it increases the risk of cancer. So the herbicide disrupts the endocrine system, causes a sensitivity to estrogen, multiplies the estrogen level, damages the cell DNA, creates the cancer. So domino effect. So endocrine disruptors like herbicides can also tell healthy cells to die prematurely. Now the report determined that herbicide endocrine disruptors create these diseases: diabetes, hypertension, obesity, kidney disease, cancer of the breast, prostate, liver, brain, thyroid, lymph glands, osteoporosis, Cushing's syndrome, which is endocrine disorder. It creates excessive cortisol levels. Also, thyroid malfunction and disease, as well as infertility, birth defects, erectile dysfunction, sexual development problems, sexual identity development problems. Now, we got a lot of that lately. As well as neurological disorders and diseases, learning disabilities, attention deficit disorder, autism, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and schizophrenia. Okay, that's a whole lot of pandemic diseases that America has, definitely. Here is a quote from the CDC. They say one-third of Americans with diabetes have not been diagnosed. Therefore, the National Health Interview Survey underestimates the true incidence and prevalence of diabetes. Oh, yeah, pandemic level. Let's see. This is from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, their National Institutes of Health, and their Cancer Institute. They say the population of the United States is bombarded with a variable cocktail of chemicals daily, in addition to genetically engineered food and glycophosphate. Bombarded. Well, I mean, that qualifies for an attack, doesn't it? Yeah, and Frank says, yeah, but it's okay for pharma and its drugs to cover up all of it. Oh, yeah. Pushback time. That's what it is. You all out there, pushback time. Here's a quote from the Journal of Entropoli. Entropoli. They say the accumulation of toxins as a result of low levels of poisoning over long periods of time leads to high body burden of toxic overload and cellular death. So, yeah, if you're exposed to it long enough. This is from the same journal. They say we have data on 22 diseases, all with a high degree of correlation and high significance to herbicide. It seems highly unlikely that all of these can be random coincidences. Oh, I agree. It's not random. And this is from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. They say, with regard to genetically modified foods, several animal studies indicate serious health risks associated with genetically modified food consumption, including infertility, immune system dysfunction, accelerated aging, dysregulation of the genes, association with cholesterol synthesis, insulin regulation problems, cell signaling problems, and protein formation problems, and changes in the liver, the kidney, the spleen, and gastrointestinal system. They also say there is more than a casual association between genetically modified foods and adverse health effects, end of quote. Oh, I mean, it's all there. The government knows. Obviously, you know, people that make Roundup know. They all know. Now you know. So now it's pushback time, right? It's time you grow your own food or you buy strictly certified organic. I know it costs more, but it's cheaper in the long run. You're not paying the doctor. You're paying the grocer. All right, so let's see. According to a lot of this research, they poured over decades of data, and what they concluded is herbicide poisoning started in the 70s, but there was a huge jump, and it created this pandemic-like disease platform with more herbicides used in the 90s, and then the genetically engineered foods were introduced right after that. So these scientists are stating these correlations have a lot of strength, and it's not a coincidence. And the scientific and healthcare communities have been informed of this research. The CDC knows. The FDA has knowledge of these facts. And the herbicide-treated foods have created this pandemic of diseases in even greater and greater levels, creating more need for healthcare and more manageable systems and, you know, less expensive healthcare. What about all these, you know, baby boomers? So you see where this is going. So it's really important to know researchers, which summarized all this data. They did it in September 2014, and they reported in the Journal of Organic Systems. They had no conflict of interest. They weren't connected with any of this stuff. And the information, it can lead you to conclude that the masses are deliberately being poisoned under the disguise of agricultural needs to prevent world hunger, you know. We know how to do it, and you don't know what's best for you. Why else would there be a push for ordinances to deter people from having family gardens, right? And why else would they want to have one-payer government system over healthcare? It's a lot of control. Frank says, question. If someone started only going organic, how long till they notice health benefits? 6 days, Frank. Yep. The science has already done the experiment and verified. If you go to a clean diet, you change your DNA in 6 days. 6 days. You're on the health path, a better wellness. You know, it's you know, the Western diet's bad enough. Right. But then you add the herbicides and the GM foods and then the pharmaceutical drugs and the vaccines and the flu shots. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm wondering why we're still walking on this planet. Why aren't we all dead? That's a whole lot of toxicity. It's God's grace. God's grace that's protected us all. So break free. Time to push back. Hey, cleanse the system. You want some organ cleansings, get the toxins out, heavy metals, radioactive particles, all those pharmaceutical residues. Also, anything to do with, you know, food preservatives, you know, the garbage you don't need to hold on to. There's herbs that can help your body eliminate that. Absolutely. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs. They'll show you how to do it. Not very expensive. Easy to do. Fast. And, you know, you got control. You have power. God's herbs are here for the service of man. God promises that, and he's not letting you down. Right? Immune boosters as well, if you have problems there. And, of course, you know, we already mentioned the other, what was it, this week, Tuesday, we talked about the research that they said, hey, you get the flu shot, you actually shed the virus and infect people. So the flu shots guarantee the flu, not prevent the flu. If you missed the show, go to the archives. New product catalog at Apothecary Herbs. Don't forget to call and reserve your copy or go to the powerherbs.com website and order one for free. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.